You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Good to have everybody with us this morning. I want to teach this morning, not for long. I won't keep you very long. Although I could keep you a long time and you'd buy more cakes probably and pies, you know, for the fundraiser. But I plan on getting you out of here about 12 or so, and appreciate you coming. Appreciate you celebrating with us today. You know, when you think about this day, of all the things that we do celebrate, even Christmas really doesn't hold a candle to the resurrection. You know, although God did visit us, Emmanuel, God with us, what a great day that we celebrate that, you know, that God started the process in Jesus coming, being born in a manger, and born of a virgin, as miraculous as that is. But really, we don't worship a babe in a manger. You know, sometimes we get a little confused about that. We worship someone who conquered hell, death, and the grave. We worship a conqueror, God becoming flesh and coming down and defeating the devil in his own domain and getting the keys of hell and death from him and rising victorious and knocking that stone out of the way and coming out of there because nothing could hold him down when he decided to come back up. You know, and he procured for us and obtained for us eternal salvation, hallelujah, through his death, burial, and his resurrection. So the greatest miracle of Christianity, when you think of all the things that took place and all the miracles that are still happening, healings, miracles, people being saved and so on, and, you know, the virgin birth, I mean, the dead that were raised, the blind that were healed, and all the miracles that took place, nothing compares to the resurrection. Nothing. Nothing will ever hold a candle to that. Nothing will ever be celebrated forever and eternally more than that day. And that's what we celebrate today, is the fact that the tomb is empty.
Yes.
This is not another religious leader we're talking about here. This is not another religion we're talking about. It's not just a good man with good teaching that brought us the golden rule. Someone who lived holy and clean, all that. All that's true. He is good. And he was a prophet. And he was a teacher. But he was more than all that. He was God in the flesh. And he didn't come to teach and lead and guide. He didn't come to give us a better example to follow. We didn't need a better example. We didn't need a better rule of life. We didn't need a better guide to guide us through life. We didn't need a better teacher. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to save us, hallelujah. See, Muhammad didn't come to die. Buddha didn't come to die. A lot of religious leaders you could talk of, they didn't come with that intent and purpose. He came to die for you and for me. And so the resurrection is a promise kept. That's what it is. I think it was a charge that he kept and a promise that he fulfilled. He arose victorious because God cannot lie. Hallelujah. And God has not lied to you, and he has not lied to me. When we leave this life, we'll go on to heaven. Hallelujah. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to show. And I have the hope of heaven, and you have the hope of heaven. And that grave and that tombstone that you go and see and visit of your relatives, if they love the Lord, I tell you, that just holds their body. Their spirit is in heaven. One day that grave is going to open up again. And that tombstone won't have any meaning at all. Have no purpose at all, because there will be nothing there. Hallelujah. Woo!
Praise God. Amen.
Man, love it. Love the resurrection. In fact, we say Easter, I like to refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. So we don't get confused. You know, I don't want to get confused with the eggs and the Easter bunny and all that. You know, I mean, everybody has fun, has a great time. We don't need to forget this is about Jesus rising from the dead. This is not about painting eggs. Now, you can eat some, have a big time, but I'm just saying, let's keep it straight, you know, what this thing's all about. Hallelujah. I may eat some rabbit. That's good, tender meat rabbit, you know. I encourage you to go eat the Easter bunny. That'll be good. No, I'm not dissing anything. You know, thank God for celebrations and thank God for family traditions and all. This is the church, and I always like to just keep it pure. This is clean. This is what it's about. You know, we do all kinds of things. We leave here, but you know, this is about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. God forbid you get here and I pass an egg out to you. You know. Sometimes I get in trouble, but anyway, you love me. You gotta love me. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's talk a little bit about the resurrection. Then I want to give you an account there. We'll eventually get to Matthew, I hope. I know how I am. It's so good. You know, you get in the Scripture and you get to expounding on it and just hard to quit. you can't exhaust it. Paul talks about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, and he talks about the new body. You know, he talks a lot about a new body in the 15th chapter. Talks about different kinds of bodies, celestials, heavenly bodies, and terrestrial, earthly bodies, and talks about seeds, how they turn into other bodies once they're planted. And of course, that's a great example. You know, when you plant a seed, it always comes up something different than what you planted. It has that seed within it. In other words, if you plant corn seed, you get this ear with all these corn seeds in it, but you get this stalk and these leaves and this corn on the cob, and man, that tastes good, doesn't it? Don't you love corn on the cob? But those seeds, all those different seeds, came from one seed. So it had within it the same seed that you planted. The DNA is there, as it were. But there's more. It's just more than that. And when we think of the new body and the resurrection, it's more than what we have here. You say, well, I recognize Fred in heaven. Oh, yeah, my goodness, you'll recognize each other. You'll know each other more than you know each other here. According to the Scripture, we know everybody when they go up. You recognize people you never met. That's a spiritual, supernatural recognition. You know, it's amazing we know anything here. I always ask those questions. We know this in heaven, know that in heaven. Hey, listen, that's when the veil's taken off. That's when we step out of wondering into knowing. Yeah. We'll know more there than here. We'll be more there than here. So if you can think of a seed, and you know, he talks about that and uses that analogy, actually we'll rise better than we went in. Our resurrection body is a whole lot better than the one we're in.
Amen.
The Bible says this outward man perisheth, 2 Corinthians 4:16, but the inward man is renewed day by day. This mortal will put on immortality, and this corruptible will put on incorruption, and death will be swallowed up of life, and there'll never be another funeral, hallelujah, and there'll never be another hospital visit. There won't be any hospitals to go to. Because that new body doesn't ever get sick. Hallelujah. And it will never die. Glory.
Hallelujah.
It'll never wrinkle up, ladies. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Man. I mean, you know, we got something better coming. You know, you think of a caterpillar when it comes out of the cocoon. It's a butterfly. Totally different, wonderful, beautiful body that emerges out of that. A tadpole becomes a frog. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be a frog, but I'm just giving an example. It's always better. It's always more. It always has what it was, but more. So everything we have now we'll have, but more. Better. Better. Our body is terrestrial. Their body is celestial. And the glory of one is different than the glory of another is what Paul talks about. As we have borne the image of the earthy Adam, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly Jesus. And we shall, when he appears, we'll see him as he is. We'll be like him. Oh, man. In that moment, in an instant, we'll be changed. At the coming of the Lord, what we call the rapture of the church. But no, this is not the end here in this body. In this life is not the end. See, a lot of people talk about Jesus being a good man. That's fine. Okay, he was a good man. They talk about him teaching and being a great prophet. I think the Quran even talks about Jesus being a good prophet, you know. But a lot of religions, you know, think well of Jesus as a person. They just don't see him as God, and they don't see him as having risen from the dead. All that's useless and pointless if when you're dead, you're dead. The resurrection tells us there's something on the other side. Hallelujah. The resurrection tells us not only that we'll exist somewhere in some form out there, but that our bodies will be changed. See, people are used to believe in some existence beyond life, but when Jesus rose from the dead, he proved to everyone that this body will be resurrected. This body will be glorified. This body will be changed. Kind of get used to this old thing, you know? You've lived in it all your life. Now, it's gotten old and wearing down as you get older and older, but I tell you, we're going to get a new model and a changed model.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
And the tomb's empty. And what the resurrection proves is not just that there's life after death, but that this body, there's an existence physically in a new body.
Amen.
That body he has is a little bit different. It's recognizable. They saw him. He talked with them after the resurrection. But it can appear when doors are closed and go right through the walls. Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing can hold him back. And it's not that it was insubstantial, not that it wasn't real or solid. No, it was the fact that it was so substantial and so concrete and so solid that no mere wall could keep him from walking through it.
Amen.
We got it backwards. We think of heaven as some mystical place. James says, what is your life? It is but a vapor.
Yeah, it is.
See, this is the mortal. Everything around here is mortal. This building will pass away. Your body will pass away. This carpet will wear out. Are you with me? But see, your spirit, the real you on the inside, is going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And we got a new body coming, hallelujah, that is going to be so concrete and so solid and so real. You've never been or seen or never been around anything so real as the body you got coming. Jesus is in that glorified body right now. When he appeared in his glory, people fall like dead people. Think about it. Because they never saw anything so real. Not that they thought they saw something. When he appeared, they finally saw something. They hadn't seen anything until they saw him. And so everything, you know, I think about him passing through the wall. He didn't roll that stone away to get out. He rolled that stone away so you could come in and see it's empty. He could have came right through the wall. Woo! Heaven's better than this life. If you want some kind of comparison, you say, well, we have mountains and hills. Oh, yeah, we'll have mountains and hills and rivers, and there'll be animals, and there'll be horses that have wings, and there'll be food to eat. Heaven is more real than this place. We're just looking at the photo album. This is just a copy. Just a passing thing. But that, oh, heaven is so real. Oh, my. It's so, you have no idea. Flesh and blood can't even inherit the kingdom of God. The blades of grass of heaven would cut through you like knives. If it rained up there, it'd shoot through you like bullets. You're not real enough. See, you're not substantial enough. You're not full enough or complete enough. Amen. Hell is filled with incomplete people. Amen. Unwhole people. Only Jesus can make us whole. Only Jesus can make us solid enough, concrete enough, so we can exist and live up there, hallelujah, in heaven. Amen. In that new heaven and that new earth. Okay, I digress. I just get to thinking about it. Praise God, what a day we got coming. What this means to me, what this means to us, Jesus rose from the dead, hallelujah. This passing, fleeting, short life on this earth, it's 100 years, it's a blip on the chart. But there is something on the other side. We've got hope, and we got help, and we got life. We got a new existence. The tomb is empty. Woo!
Yes. Amen.
1 Corinthians 15, found it?
Yes.
Y'all have already taken up 15 minutes of my time. By amen and then going along with me, I wouldn't have gone so long, see, if you hadn't enjoyed that so much. But anyway. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. Everybody say gospel.
Gospel.
Man, I love that. Paul's saying the good news. That's the Greek word evangelion. We get the word evangelist from it, a good news bringer. We get the word eulogy when you tell good news at a funeral about someone, you know, the eulogy, the good news. Well, the gospel is good news. Hallelujah. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, the good news which I preach to you, which also you receive, and in which you stand. Everybody say, I stand.
Stand.
Think about it. I stand on the good news. I my hope is in the good news. My courage and my faith for the future is based on the good news of Jesus Christ. And he says, by which also you are saved. Wow, been saved by this. How important is the resurrection? Well, it's the news about salvation. It's how we got saved. By which also you are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And what is that word? For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Are you with me? So Jesus didn't just die, he rose. He's not on the cross. The cross is empty. He's not in the tomb. The tomb is empty. He arose. Now this is the gospel. This is the good news. This is what we're saved by. You know, a real familiar scripture we often quote about salvation is Romans 10:9. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Wow. You know, as much as I believe in the virgin birth, as much as I believe in the miracles that he did as he walked the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum, as much as I believe in him healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out devils, and it's all there, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he did those things, still does those things. Much as I believe all that, it is my belief that the tomb is empty and Jesus rose from the dead that causes me to be saved. Because the Bible doesn't say, believe in the virgin birth, believe that he healed the sick, believe that he raised the dead. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. Yeah. And you go through the book of Acts over and over, the apostles are preaching the resurrection. Woo!
Amen.
Man, Thank God for this day.
Yes.
We're celebrating today, but we celebrate every day. When you think about it as Christians, that the tomb is empty, that we actually have hope in Christ. Hallelujah. And so he says those things, and notice he goes down a little further. Don't have time to go over all these verses. In the 17th verse, if Christ is not risen, your faith is vain or futile. You are still in your sins or dead in your sins. Man, that's pretty strong, isn't it? So really all Christianity is based on the resurrection. It's based on the fact that God meant what he said when he said it. That Jesus said it many times, I will rise, I will rise, I will rise, I will rise. And he did exactly what he said. He kept his promise. And because he rose, that means something to us. It doesn't just mean he conquered hell, death, and grave. It doesn't just mean that he could not be held down. Are they beating those kids up there? What are they doing for me? Maybe somebody go up there and tell them to quit waterboarding or whatever they're doing. I don't know. Do what? One of the doors is open. Okay. It doesn't just mean that he conquered death. It means that we're going to conquer death. It doesn't just mean that he didn't stay dead, but he's alive. But it means that we're going to be alive and not stay dead when we die. In other words, our faith is based on the fact that he rose from the dead. For if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain. And you're still in your sins. Well, now, thank God I'm not still in my sins. Thank God I've been born again. Why? Because he rose from the dead. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Then also those who, he goes on and says this, if Christ is not risen, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Well, see, now what kind of hope could you give anybody at a funeral if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? The hope we give is the fact that he conquered death and conquered hell and conquered the grave. The fact that we can give hope and comfort to people, you know, who have lost a loved one, as it were, that knows the Lord, is the fact that Jesus arose from the dead and the tomb is empty. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we even quote 1 Thessalonians 4:13, where it says that if Christ, you know, rose from the dead, we believe those that sleep in Jesus, he will bring with him. And he goes on and says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I love that. We take comfort from this. So I want to encourage you. I want to comfort you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
There's something better coming. Something better's coming.
Amen.
You know, I told you that story I heard about this woman won't be buried with her fork. And they said, well, you won't be buried with your fork for? She says, well, you know, when you get through your meal, they always come get all the plates and tell you to keep your fork because something better's coming. She said, I don't believe it's the end when I die. I want to be buried with a fork. And they buried her with that fork laying right there when everybody passed by. She was ready for dessert when she gets to heaven. Hallelujah. Well, it says here, if in this life, now he's talking about the resurrection, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ. See, people take comfort in Christ's teachings. I think it's interesting how many people believe that there was a Christ, was a Jesus, that maybe follow his teachings or follow his morality or his example or his goodness or the golden rule or whatever. But Paul is saying that's not good enough. No, he didn't leave us that option. He says, if in this life alone we have hope in Christ. Our hope in Christ is not just for this life. Our hope in Christ doesn't just make this life better. If this life's it and we're dead, then what's the difference to anybody else that dies? We might as well all eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow we die. But see, that's not the case because the tomb's empty. We don't just have hope in this life. We got hope in the life to come.
Yeah.
Why? Because Jesus arose from the dead.
Amen.
And if he didn't rise, and in this life we only have hope, we are of all creatures most miserable or pitiable, is what Paul says. Man, I got a better life coming. And listen, I got a life better than this coming. Better than this life. As good as this life is. It's not perfect. It's all mixed up. You know, I often say this at funerals and at home going, you know, that life's kind of a mixed bag. You have a little bit of heaven, a little bit of hell. There's good days and there's some bad days. And hopefully you can balance them in your favor by trusting God. But you can't eliminate, eradicate every bad day, every bad report, every tragedy, every crisis. I mean, we live in a broken, fallen world. You definitely can balance the scales in your favor, but you can't get rid of all the bad things. But I always say, if you don't like the bad parts, you want to be sure and miss hell. Because hell has no good parts. It's just hell 24 hours a day the rest of your life. There are no good days. But on the other hand, if you like the good parts of life, and every one of us had some blessings in life, and God's, you know, He showed up, He's caused the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. If you like the good parts of this life, you sure want to go to heaven. You want to make sure you don't miss heaven, because heaven is heaven all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're going to enter into the joy of the Lord, and in His presence is fullness of joy. There are no blue Mondays. There are no wrong sides of the bed to get up on. Hallelujah. No bed bugs like that. No chiggers. No ticks. Nothing but good. Nothing but good. You want to be sure and go to heaven. Got a great, great place waiting on us. We have an inheritance with the saints in light. We have a mansion in glory. If it were not so, He would have told us. But He has gone away to prepare a place for us that where He is, we may also be with Him. And He told us how to get there. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Woo! But He says this, if in this life, 19th verse, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable, most miserable. If that's it, if this is it, come on. No, this goes beyond this life. Our hope in Christ goes further than that, because the tomb's empty. Jesus rose from the dead. There's a life to come. Hallelujah. And He says, 21st, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's just the first. He's not the last. He started the ball rolling. He opened the ball and invited us all to the dance. And now we're all going to get to go, just like He did. We're going to rise just like He rose. Woo! For since, 21st verse, by man came death, that's Adam and his sin, by man also came the resurrection of the dead, that's Jesus and His righteousness. Man, that's good stuff. Have a camp meeting on that. Teach a whole series on that right there. But turn with me to Matthew 27, real quickly. Let me keep my word. Let's look quickly at the event that took place. And you can read this event in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just the last chapter or two out of each one of those books, and get the whole story of the trial and the, you know, and His crucifixion, His death, His resurrection. You have a little more detail, a little more detail in each one of them. Each one of them gives a little more detail of what took place in that wonderful event that took place 2,000 years ago. It always amazes me when you look at the eyewitness accounts. There's nothing greater than an eyewitness account in the court of law. Do you know that? I mean, if you were going to a court, a trial, you have eyewitness accounts. That's about the best testimony you can get. I mean, there's nothing better than that. And we have eyewitness account after eyewitness account after eyewitness account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what these are. I mean, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are filled with eyewitness accounts. The book of Acts filled with eyewitness accounts. Paul's still talking about it in Acts 15. I mean, 1 Corinthians 15. He said over 500 people saw Him after He rose from the dead. And he said, as I'm writing this, and that's the 15th chapter of the book of Corinthians we just read there, he said as he was writing that, the greater part of those were still alive. Some had fallen asleep, but over 250 were still alive. He said, he appeared to Peter, and he appeared to the 11, then he appeared to me, he said, as one born out of due time. Not even worthy to be called an apostle, but by the grace of God I am what I am. I mean, they preached the resurrection. The tomb is empty. Hallelujah. People saw it. All kinds of people saw Him, talked to Him, walked with, ate with Him. And it's recorded book after book after book. One of the greatest proofs, the greatest evidence that you can bring up in a trial is eyewitness accounts. And we have lots of them right here. Well, it says here, and I think it's fascinating. Notice the 27th chapter, the 62nd verse after they crucified Him. It says, on the next day, Matthew 27, verse 62. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, the Roman procurator there, governor, saying, sir, we remember while He was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I'll rise. They'd heard Him say that. Everybody had heard Him say that. All of His disciples heard Him say that. All of His enemies heard Him say that. And so the chief priests and, you know, and the Pharisees got together and they said, hey, He said He was going to rise, 64th verse. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest His disciples come by night and steal Him away and say to the people, has risen from the dead, so the last deception will be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. They had a priest or temple guards. So they went and made the tomb secure and sealed the stone and set the guard. Wow. Trying to stop them from coming and getting his body. You know, all they did was just give more proof to the resurrection. They put a seal on that tomb, and they put those guards. This is what's fascinating to me. You know, you're going to stop God from doing what God's going to do. Yeah, well, you just go ahead and try. You know, if you're so inclined, it's not going to work. God's going to do exactly what he says, and nothing, no man, no nothing past, present, or future ever going to stop God from doing what he's going to do. And he said he was going to do this, and Jesus is a God of his word. And the resurrection proves to us that God keeps his promises, and nothing can stop his promises from coming to pass. I don't know what you're standing on. I don't know what you're believing. But it doesn't matter about the economy. It doesn't matter about the government. It doesn't matter about OPEC. It doesn't matter about anything. If you're standing on God's word, God will bring his word to pass. You just keep believing. He's got a million ways to make it happen. Just stay in faith. Amen? And keep believing. So they did that and put these guards up. In the 28th chapter, it says this. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn. See, that's why we worship on Sunday. Do you know that? Because we celebrate the resurrection. The Sabbath is Saturday. But Jesus rose on the first day. And we meet every Sunday, first day of the week. Celebrating the fact. That's a new, because it's a new life and a new beginning and a new day for us. The resurrection. It says, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Mary Magdalene, the one who cast seven devils out of, the prostitute, the harlot, that had gotten her life turned around by the power of God, that Jesus forgave, who wept at his feet. Mary Magdalene, wow. Where were those disciples? I always wonder about that, you know. Who went to the tomb third day? Women. Yeah. Some people say, women aren't supposed to preach. Well, you try to stop them. Hello. They're the first one to go to the tomb. They're the first one Jesus gave a mission call to. Told Mary, go tell the disciples. Oh yeah, we don't like to hear that. They're the only one brave enough and bold enough to go out there. While the men were trembling in the house. Wow. Bold. That's bold. That's courage. That's love. That's loyalty. Are you with me? And it says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Wow. Man. I mean, can you imagine? You've never seen a movie like this. You've never seen any special effects like this. You've never seen anything like this in your life. From heaven, this angel comes down, earthquake, the stone, a huge, the Bible says it was a large stone. In fact, if you read all these accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the women were concerned about how they were going to get the stone moved. They were going to have to get some help. It was a brand new tomb. It was Joseph of Arimathea, a very rich man, a disciple of Jesus, went there and let him put him in the tomb. He only rented it for 3 days. But anyway, he just kind of leased it to him, you know. Never was anybody laid there. And this angel comes down, earthquake, the stone rolls away, and he just hops up there and sits down on it. Of course, all the guards are laying flat on their backs. The Bible says they fell like dead men. The seal didn't mean a thing. The angel just rolled the stone back, just like that. And the tomb was empty. The Bible tells us his clothes or linens, the wrappings were just laid there, and the towel that was on his face was folded up and laid off to the side. I can imagine Jesus just coming through those clothes in that glorified body. Standing there a moment, taking the napkin off his face and folding it up and laying it down. That's exactly what it says. It says Peter ran in and he saw the napkin laid there that was on his face. And the linens laid by themselves. He just came right through those linens. That angel's there, and it says this, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. Big bad guards. Weren't so bad anymore, were they? I'm sure they just passed out. It says it came like dead men. That means they just fainted. All their training, didn't train them for that. They weren't ready for that. Are you kidding me? Man, can you imagine what the devil did? Come on, the devil and all his cohorts. Jesus, I mean, he went down there and just took away the keys of hell and death from the devil. The Bible tells us he made a show of them openly. Through the corridors of hell, I just have a picture of Jesus taking the devil, you know, defanging him. He's like a toothless lion now, holding the keys, saying, I'm Lord of Lords, King of Kings. I got the keys.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
It says he made a show of him open, triumphing over him in it. There's a lot that went on there. And he came out of the grave, folded up the cloth. Man. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, like, you know, no sense talking to the guards. They're like dead anyway. They're passed out. So the women walk up on the scene. The tomb's open. The stones roll away. This shining white like lightning, glistening angel is sitting on the stone. The guards are laying out. Y'all get the picture. I imagine they're thinking, something just happened. Wouldn't you? Don't know, but something's happened. These guys, what is the deal here? You know, they're coming to see Jesus. And this is what the angel says. The angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. One account says, why seek ye the living among the dead?
Yeah.
I love that. That's a good word for any church that you're looking for. If you're seeking for the living, find you a live church, not a dead one, okay?
Amen.
Well, that went over real big. That's when you're supposed to go, yeah, this is one. Yeah, okay. Missed your cue, but anyway. It says, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified, for he is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. That's why he rolled the stone away, so everybody could see. He didn't roll it away for Jesus to get out. Jesus could have got out there without the stone. I mean, go right through the wall, right through the rock. It didn't matter to Jesus. And he said, he is not here. He is risen as he said. He told you. Did you not think he was going to do what he said? Isn't that amazing how we're praying, we're believing, we're standing on a word, and then it comes to pass, and we go, man, that's just the most amazing. I just can't hardly believe that happened. And you were praying all that time that it would, and you were standing on the promise, but even when it happened, we're almost, you know, wow, I can't believe that. I just can't believe that happened. Well, that's what, I hope you were believing. But sometimes we don't get it till it happens, you know. We don't understand it. But he says, he told you, just like he said, come see where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And the rest, of course, not to be punny, is history. We know. And there's account after account where he appeared to the disciples. He appeared to two on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to the disciples again when they went back fishing. Still hadn't gone out into ministry. And he appeared to them on the seashore and thrust them into ministry. I tell you, as I stand here today, and as churches all across the world meet today, we stand here and preach a risen Savior. Not a dead God, but a living God. Not a tomb that's full, but an empty tomb. No, he's not a Buddha, and he's not a Muhammad. He doesn't even fit that mold. Are you kidding me? This is God in the flesh. This is the one who died for your sins and rose again. And he loves you, and he's for you, and there's nothing that's impossible to him. Nothing. Nothing. And you and I have hope. We have hope now, and we have hope for the future because the tomb is empty. Hallelujah. It's Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
It ought to give us something to shout about. Amen.